Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Matthew 12, 25, it says, Jesus knew their thoughts. That would be the discerning of spirits in operation, where he knew what was in their heart. He knew what they were thinking, and at times would speak to them based on there were things revealed happening or going on in the hearts and minds of people. And they were accusing him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So he answers them. He answers their thoughts. Isn't that awesome when God does that? I mean, I believe for that. You might be thinking, have been thinking about a certain thing and come to hear the word. And the Holy Spirit knows what you were thinking. I don't know what you were thinking. But he does, and he'll speak and answer to the very thoughts you were having. Now, I don't mean just this moment, but maybe the past week or month or year, whatever. And he spoke this to them. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation or will be destroyed. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Satan's way, one of his ways, is to try to divide and conquer. He'll try to split people apart because they are weaker and more vulnerable. As we are in unity in our faith and in the purpose of God and in the love of God, as it says in Genesis 11, there's nothing to stop us. The early church, one of the key things was there was a unity in spirit in the beginning. And it says they were of one heart and one mind. Whenever God's establishing anything, the devil will try to destroy it. Now, Jesus spoke in Matthew, I think it was chapter 19, that what God joined together, and he's speaking of marriage, let no man put asunder. You understand, if you recognize God's bringing you together with another person, the devil will try to destroy that. He endeavors to destroy everything that's of God. And in fact, when the Bible speaks of the spirit of Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that he opposes and exalts himself against everything that's of God. Now, we see this as we get closer and closer to the end of times, how crazy, for lack of another word, the Antichrist spirit is. Because he's moving to get people to deny that they're a man or a woman, which is denying God's work as a creator. He creates you. You're either a male or female. It's right in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. To deny something like that, to deny that he ordained marriage between a man and a woman, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman. And now, even to say something like that's viewed as some horrific hate speech. I just said what the Bible says. And the Antichrist spirit's working against everything that's of God. So he's working to undermine family, that children would not be required to submit to parents, neither should parents lead their children, but give them over to the state or the government. That's the way it is in communist countries. The state owns your children. In fact, in their mind, they own all the people. Sort of like the old kingdoms, the people were subjects of the king, or the king owned them. So you have those things, and the Antichrist spirit's trying to undermine everything that's of God, every truth, every gathering, every people group. And when the division is in operation, it will bring destruction. Now, politically speaking, we see this right now where the Antichrist spirit, and we need to recognize it as such, it's not just politics, it's demonic, is trying to divide our country to where we can be completely controlled and manipulated. The United States of America has been an obstacle or a thorn in Satan's side for a long time. I remember I had obtained some cassette tapes. Y'all know what they are. Back in the old days, we had cassette tapes. And it was probably 40 years ago or sometime around then. And it was a person who was deeply in whatever you want to call it, the cabal, the people trying to control the world, or that were. Different terms are used. That's not the point. But he was in, and then he had gotten out, and he was sharing things, putting it on tape before they would kill him. And I'm sure they did. You don't get out of satanic organizations alive except for the miracle power of God, whatever organization that would be. And he was sharing about the spirit of Antichrist, the work towards, now this is like 40 years ago, the work towards a one world government, that three things needed to happen. One was a one world religion, which is New Age. Two was a one world government. And three was a one world currency. We see all those things in the book of Revelation, speaking of the end. Now, this was being shared at a time that the personal computer, this was BC, not before Christ, before computer, BC. Now, maybe some of you had a computer, and you'd have to, just to get on it, take 10 minutes. You could go out and scramble some eggs and have a cup of coffee and then get back, and it's coming up. Maybe some of you remember those days. But you had, the capabilities were so limited, but it was being spoken of, and it was in the plans. Anyway, this man was sharing how the United States of America was a problem. It needed to be taken down because there was such a strong element of Christians in this nation, and there was the protection of the Word of God and of freedom to worship. Those things were protected by our Constitution. And there were such a vast number of Christians who embraced the worship of God, who embraced family as God had laid it out, and right on down the line. And he shared how the plan was to try to bring us down, or that was necessary to bring this nation down so this one world thing could really be released all over the world. So I don't want to go off in the weeds on that. But I'm just saying that to say there was a plan way on back. And it's very easy for someone who believes the Bible, that's me, that's you, to be a conspiracy theorist. I mean, that's what they'll call us. But why is that so easy for us? Because in the Bible, Satan had a plan. Antichrist spirit has a plan. The book of Revelation shows the unfolding of it at the end without getting in a lot of detail, lest we go off thinking too much about that and trying to figure it all out. The parable of the 10 virgins is for today, in that we need to stay full of the Holy Ghost and busy about the work of God. That's putting that whole parable in a little nutshell there. And the enemy is at work. Now, we see an emboldening of the enemy now, who is pushing hard. Now, one thing the devil will do is overpush or overdrive. Many people are like happily serving the enemy, and Satan tries to just keep pushing until he drives them right to God. Some of you, maybe that's part of the testimony of you even getting saved. You were just happily serving the flesh and yielding to demons. And he just pushed unto about destroying you. And you begin to cry out for the truth. It was like that for me. It's like that for many of you, I'm sure. And in our nation, the devil's, he's overplaying his hand now. Because he's getting a little cocky. And he's driving people back to God. I believe that. There's people in this hour. Now, the efforts are there to completely control. But there are many who are being driven back, and they don't even know what they're going towards some. See, it begins just a cry for truth. What's the truth? And Jesus reveals himself, whether it's directly in a vision or dream, or whether it's through someone's witness to them, or they're just sitting reading the Bible, getting stoned and listening to Jimi Hendrix. That was me in October 1974. And I come down to Romans chapter 10, and I read what to do, and I did it. It was like I'm in a dark room, flip the lights on. I could see now, because I did what the Word said concerning Jesus. Well, there's a lot of work from the enemy to divide us. Satan will overplay his hand, and many will come to the Lord as God's people stay faithful in prayer and the Word of God and the witness of Christ. Well, one of the things happening is the enemy's trying to create identity politics. They've done that for a while. To divide us, to pit people against each other, that people don't really see what's going on in spirit because they're perceiving other people as an enemy. So all that being said, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we recognize that this type of work has always been, and until Jesus comes back, it'll always be. It's in our midst. We need to understand and recognize it, yet continue to stay full of the Holy Ghost and do the work of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1, 10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it's been declared to me of you, my brethren, by them that are of the house of Chloe, there are contentions among you. Now, I say that every one of you says, 'Well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Now, we'll jump forward and read chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet are you now able, for you are yet carnal, whereas there's among you envy, strife, division. Are you not carnal and walk as men or as mere men? For while one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and another, 'I'm of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Well, who's Paul and who's Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Now, let me pause here for a moment. Paul begins addressing here division that came into the church at Corinth. Now, in chapter 1, he says they came behind in no gift. They had a full manifestation of all the gifts of the Spirit of God, but the gifts, praise God for the gifts, but they do not make you spiritual or equate with maturity. A gift's just a gift. Last Tuesday was my birthday. I received some gifts. And that didn't make me different. The gifts gave me something to use. It didn't make me any more mature. I'm the same person I was after Tuesday as I was before Tuesday. Just in terms of identification, I'm a year older. You know, as you understand, we go from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. You can rejoice getting older. The world exalts the greatest days of their life when they were 16. Didn't know anything. But really, if we embrace the love and peace and joy of God, and we're going forward, embracing more and more of the kingdom of God, it gets better. Life gets better in Him. If you're growing in Him, your marriage can be better. The relationships you have, it gets better. Selah, you can just think about that one. Well, God can give us gifts that helps us, it blesses us, but it doesn't make us who we are. So here was Corinth, even though they were excelling in the gifts, they were very immature, and the criteria here are your babies, because you are, you know, in strife, you're arguing, envy, and division. Now, those of you who have worked with preschoolers, toddlers, one of the major events of a child's life is them fussing with their brother, their sister, the other kids, in their class. And, you know, when you're first dealing with a child, like in a toddler age, the issues disciplining them to submit to your authority as parent. But as they begin to embrace that, the next big issue becomes they're fighting with each other. So if you ever have on your heart to teach kindergarten or preschool class, understand that a big part of the job is disciplining kids. You know, Billy pulled Sally's hair. Johnny's crayon's bigger than mine. So they envy and they want to fight over such things. That's just part of having kids. Think it not strange if you have your first one and they're that age. Think it not strange, you know, when you have another one and you have that kind of action going on. Well, as people grow bigger in their body and in their understanding, they can still be a baby spiritually. And it's known by the division and the envy and the strife. So we have the enemy trying to divide our nation to take it down. And that's his way. That's how he works to do it. And he will try to divide churches to take them down. He will divide households to take it down. If we don't build on the rock of Christ, it can't stand. You know, that was stated back in our text. A house divided can't stand. So as a result of that, if young man, young woman, or it could be old man, old woman, are going to get married, you have to look at the truths of what am I building on, or what are we building on together? And the focus needs to come into agreement with God and his ways so that our walking together, unified together, has to have a foundation or a basis for it. So if a young couple, and maybe they're a little rough around the edges, to say it nice, if they'll seek out to find the will of God and walk in his ways and walk in his spirit, there'll be nothing come between them that they can't resolve. They'll say, God, what do you say about this? Rather than dig your feet in, well, I'm not budging off of this. And disagreement should never go unto division and separation. So really our first grounds of dealing with this is in the home. And it's necessary to know, what am I building on? If you're just building on pleasure, it will not stand. You know, often if I do premarriage counseling, I'll say, well, you know, why do you want to marry this person? And it's a set-up question. And most all the time, unless they've sat under hearing me teach these things, you know, if someone's like 20 years old, they'll say, because I love this person. And I'll smile. And I'm smiling. And I say, okay, why do you love them? And what normally follows is, well, you know, he makes me laugh, or she this and that. Something they do for you. So it's about me. It's about you. And I say, what's going to happen when they don't do that? For whatever reason. You know, someone will say, well, I'm in a bad mood, so that's why I'm treating you bad. Okay, now what's going to happen? So what happens when people are no longer getting what they want? And if you are used to getting what you want, spoiled child syndrome, if you are used to getting that, you just raise the bar. You want more and more. Until ultimately that other person cannot give you what only Jesus Christ can give you. Then you become dissatisfied and the seeds for division begin to come, where you begin to think, wow, that person over there, they look happier than me. Oh, they have something more than I have. And the division takes place in the home. Well, Paul is speaking here to division in the church. And the basis of it to the Corinthian church was identifications. He said, some of you say, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, Cephas. And some would say, were even so bold to say they follow Christ. But divisions based on identification would come and ultimately destroy everything. And there are many identifications in this world. When I go to Europe, anywhere in Europe, they are so identified with their culture. I mean, far beyond here. We have all the cultures of the world here. They're so identified with their culture and the pride that will come with it, they begin to exalt themselves and see themselves as above a neighboring country. And that's been throughout history, and wars end up being fought over these things. They will see another country has certain blessing, they'll envy them and want to then go and take it from them. They will have pride rise up where, you know, they are intolerant and cannot stand another people group. For the unity to come in the church of Jesus Christ, the identity has to be first with Christ. Anywhere I go, I'll usually try to make a point in the first session to say, I am your brother. I'm sent from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'll try to exalt the kingdom over my nation. I'm not coming here as an American. Because if you pose that, they automatically don't like you. Because many are jealous of the wealth that this nation has. So envy will say, well, if I can't have it, then I'm going to hate the one who does. So, you know, we go for an identification with Christ, and where that abounds, you won't have this nationalist hatred stuff. And even within churches, the division can be minimized when we understand our identification is with Christ. Now, what we see here at Corinth was the church did not exist many years until people began to separate off and say, well, we follow this person, and we follow this person, and we have this doctrine, and we have that doctrine, and we have this gift, and we have that gift. And it just was, and Satan will use that to split it down. I mentioned a few weeks ago, one morning when I was praying, I just felt led to study out the time period from 1914 to 1924, which we would refer to as when the World War I started. And I began to do so in light of the Church of Jesus Christ in this country. And in the previous decade, the Pentecostal move of God took place, and thousands and thousands and thousands of church sprang up all over the nation because the Spirit of God was pouring himself out. And in less than 10 years, they all began to separate into these denominations or groups. And the major ones, you had Assemblies of God, you had Church of God in Christ, you had Foursquare, and the United Pentecostal Church. Four major denominations, and there were some others as well, they began to split and divide in no time. Excuse me. And I marveled at that. I just marveled at looking at this, how quickly man will do that. And he'll do it to try to exalt himself as above others. And that work of the flesh was in the 12 right before the crucifixion of Christ. They're arguing, and it says it three different times, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? Trying to exalt themselves above others. And when man goes to do that, he will always try to pull something out that makes them above everyone else to separate. Well, we're the ones who believe this. We're the ones who have this doctrine. We're the ones, the first church of healing. We're the first church of prophecy. Whatever. And it's also babyish and carnal. Well, that was happening here at Corinth. When the early church began, it was just around Jesus. But then they began to have divisions. And in the epistles, you had John, Peter, Jude, Paul all write about it. That people began to go out as false apostles, false prophets, and so forth, false teachers, and draw people to themselves. And a division was at work. So now as we're catapulting forward in the end times, this work of the enemy's magnified in an even greater way. You know, where the enemy wants to divide. And it's so important for us to understand that only that which is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ can stand. The others cannot stand. Ultimately, there'll be enough pressure that people will be divided, or also for the prospects of status and pride and money, people do this as well. And the unity of the Spirit can only really come by our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, concerning our nation, something that's really important to understand, to be able to see through things, to see what's going on, is that when our nation was founded, prior to that, there was what was called the Great Awakening from around 1735 to 1760 or 65, what was called the Great Awakening. And there was a move of God with people being saved up and down the 13 colonies like North America never saw before or after. And the 13 colonies were very divided. Many of them, not all, many had a state religion. Many were certain people groups from certain nations that primarily settled certain states. Now, I'll make a little boast on Pennsylvania here, just to make y'all feel good for a minute. Pennsylvania was the foremost state promoting religious liberty in terms of respecting all people groups. Pennsylvania was at the forefront of that, and largely because the founder was William Penn, who was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was imprisoned for preaching the gospel in England, and the king owed his dad a favor, and his dad insisted that William come out of prison. William didn't want to come out on those terms. Somehow or another, he was persuaded to come out, and they sent him to the New World and gave him the chartership to a colony that they then called Penn's Woods, Pennsylvania. If I knew a state song, I'd sing it right now. Patriotic for my state. But anyway, just give you that little piece of history there. You can, you know, be pleased about that. Praise God. But nonetheless, the states were very divided, but they had a common enemy. But when a people have a common enemy and unite around that, when that enemy's defeated, they'll go back to the fighting they had before. You have in World War II, Russia and U.S. was allies. But when we defeated the Nazis, then we're enemies. It's like the next day. Even Patton said, we need to march on to Moscow. Kill the Ruskies, I think he called them. Because they're really our enemy. Well, everybody was tired of war and said, no, you know, you're just over the edge, General Patton. But we did descend right into the Cold War. So a common enemy is not enough. A common enemy will unite. We have a common enemy in the powers of darkness, in Satan. But the unity of faith, believing the same things, going to bring unity. And in our nation's history, it was the Great Awakening where so many were born again throughout the whole 13 colonies. That brought a unity. That was the one common denominator. And the people we refer to as our founding fathers, great leaders who had great wisdom, and they did, grew up as children in the Great Awakening. And they say, when you learn to read, there was two books, the New England Primer and God's Holy Bible. And that's how they learned to read. I mean, it's nice we have other books, but that's a pretty good foundation for children to begin getting the word in them that they understood God and his ways. So they were able, out of that, there was enough unity to stand against the English and then to form a new country. But because they had to come together to fight the English, they had to all be together. And even that, it was just God's hand on them. They're able to defeat the most powerful nation on the earth. The unity that brought that about was the gospel of Christ. You know, the people were just so different. And had not that great awakening happened, they wouldn't have been able to do it. Now, I say that to bring up to today where the spirit of division's at work in our nation. The solution's not taking over the government. There are some who believe that. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, there were five main people groups in Israel. And one of them was called the Zealots. And they believed that they could, well, there was the Herodians who were like submitting themselves to whatever the Caesar said. There was that bunch. But then there was the Zealots who wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire and establish themselves. Then there was Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. But Jesus did not promote, oh, we're going to bring the kingdom by taking over the government. There are some Christians who are indoctrinated in that thought process, but it is not biblical. It's taking certain scriptures out of context. We see in the Bible, the end, there will be a one world and there will be judgment and the Lord will return as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, execute judgment on the earth. That's there. That's undeniable. But for a nation to be blessed, the unity can only come one way, and that's Jesus Christ, the foundation of Christ and Christ alone. That's the only way it's going to come. So our efforts, and we want to be good citizens and vote for people who would be more righteous rather than less righteous. But we have to understand that real change happens in the heart. And real unity is a work of God by our coming to believe the same thing about the Lord. And as we learn to agree together with God, we'll be united together. Same as a husband and wife. You agree with God together. Not compromises and something else based on the flesh, but we agree together with God. We agree with His word. And then the unity can come. So again, church history throughout. These divisions would come. They would cause division because they want to exalt themselves, their identity, and possibly benefit financially. Now, that being said, for a moment, I want to go over Romans 16, 17. Read a couple verses here. Verse 17 says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine that you've learned and avoid them. Now, here's where a lot of, again, confusion comes with Christians, because sometimes people think that the command to walk in love means you just endorse everything, be happy about everything, support everything. That is not what the Word of God teaches. I mean, you have to snip this one out of your Bible if you want to believe that. He says, mark them that cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine. And concerning that salvation's only through Jesus Christ. There's no compromise that. There's only one way to the Father. Through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are certain doctrinal things that there is no compromise. No way, no how compromise. You see, the New Age movement projects there are many ways to God. So just bless the people who are actually going to hell, who are saying there's some other way. You know, the New Age would say, oh, you know, just be nice, smile to everybody, and just say, I love you. Well, yeah, of course you don't hate the people, you love the people. But we have to understand that wrong thinking and wrong believing can take someone to hell. Wrong speech, wrong thinking can divide, be it a marriage, a church, or a nation. And we have today, through the power of media, which is very, very powerful, so much is going out to cause people to speak against the foundation we have in Christ, to speak against the foundation that our founding fathers set into place. And you have to understand that to divide a people, if there's a foundation there, you must destroy the foundation, and then you can bring other thoughts in that would further divide and conquer. And that's what's happening right now. The enemy is working to destroy our Constitution, to undermine the Declaration of our Independence, to undermine the principles upon our nation has been based, the foundation of the nation. They're wanting to say it was evil, that it was racist in itself. The foundation wasn't racist. The problem was there were many people who were. So you have to be able to distinguish between a truth and people who aren't walking in a truth, or they're walking in something else. And what happened at the founding of our country and the Constitutional Convention and the Declaration, they decided they weren't going to deal with the slavery issue because it was so divisive, they never would have been able to stand united against the King of England. So they put it off. Something that needs dealt with by truth, if it's put off to the future, it'll be worse when you deal with it then, if you even deal with it at all. So we had a horrific war 80 years later, Civil War, where finally the slavery issue was dealt with in terms of the legality of it. Now, people's thinking still had to change. But just because their thinking wasn't changed yet didn't mean the law, the legality of it wasn't changed. The legality was changed in 1865. But there were some people who were taught wrong, who were still taught hatred and these things, who still held on to some of that. So people think, well, just because some people's thinking didn't change, nothing happened. When you were born again, your spirit was changed. Your thinking wasn't changed yet. But as we continue in the Word of God, our thoughts are exchanged for God's thoughts. We begin to think as He would think. We begin to speak His Word rather than our own ways. So the thing that I'm sharing here applies the whole way along the line. Our nation, it applies to the Church of Jesus Christ. It applies to homes. Well, we go back here to, let me finish reading here in Romans. It says, "For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So people will try to cause division to bring a people to themselves that they can profit and benefit, whether it's pride or money. And they learn to say all the right words. You know, when you're dealing with different people groups, there is a discerning spirit and wisdom that is so necessary because people learn to say what they think you want to hear. I know in going to Haiti, I've been down there 3 or 4 times. I was even told by Haitians, you know, that they compete for someone like from the U.S. or from France or somewhere. That's they become their person who's going to give them money. And they all know it behind the scenes. They don't come out and tell you that. I had one of them come out and tell me this is what's going on here. Because I discerned it and I said, hey, something's not right with this guy here. Why are you with him? So then that was explained to me. But I thought to myself, the longer I'm there, there must be like college courses of what to say to a foreigner that you think might have money, how to win them over to your side. And they get really good at it. They can learn what to say what they think you want to hear. So if there's not the discerning of spirits by way of the Word of God, you can just get pulled into this type of thing. What's not any different with people who try to cause a division in the church where they're going to start projecting something and undermining a pastor or whoever's in authority. and try to pull people over to themselves. In the book of Acts, Paul called that a wolf spirit. They're trying to get people to themselves. So this has always been, it's everywhere in the world. Knowing and understanding this is how Satan works. I know if I go in another country and I'm with 100 pastors, I know they're all dealing with this, or they're going to be real soon. If they just started, maybe it hasn't manifest yet. This is what the enemy will do. So we come back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And at verse 11. Well, I'll start verse 10. He says, according to the grace that's given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, your work will be manifest and you'll receive a reward for your work. He goes on to say, you're the temple of God. He's speaking to them corporately. The Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple, it's the same word as destroy in the Greek, you'll be destroyed. And what this says to me is God really loves his people. Jesus loves his church. He died to have a church, a family of God. And if someone's hurting God's kids, it'll bring the mother bear out in him. I still remember when our sons were pretty young. We took them to the ice rink to learn to skate here in New York. Well, I could skate, but I wasn't real, real good at it. I mean, I guess could be a goalie on a hockey team. Not a whole lot more. But I remember there were certain people who were full of themselves, flying around, almost, you know, bulldozing over these little kids, of which two are my sons. It's making me mad. It's good I wasn't a very good skater, because had they knocked them down, I might have went berserk or something and come after them. You all understand what I'm saying. You had that moment as a parent, if you're a parent, right? I mean, I say, yeah, beat the tar out of my kid. It's okay. No, you know, there's a defense there. It's in the animal kingdom. The bear will run away from you, but if you're in between mother bear and the cubs, that bear will kill you. And that's just the heart of God. He loves us so much. That which is an enemy that would seek out to hurt and destroy his people, he's against it. That's where in the book of Acts chapter 5, they had such a strong unity, and the enemy begins to work through someone with Ananias and Sapphira to bring a lie that would have brought division, and they drop dead in Peter's presence. Now, I'm not advocating. I don't ask God to drop somebody. Can't say I never thought the thought, but I never allowed it to linger in my mind. James and John thought that way. They were offended that the people weren't receiving Jesus. God, call fire down from heaven. Strike them dead. And he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You ought to be asking me to reveal myself that they can get saved. Then, yeah. But yes, in the flesh, we can get offended, and we have to have restraint. That's why it says, be ye angry, question, sin not. Don't let it become sin. And you know, as a parent, how you could want to hurt somebody if you feel they're hurting your kid. Well, all the more with God, because this type of thought and emotion actually proceeds from him in how he created us in the parental kind of love. He has his heart and his mind to protect his people, and that people aren't destroying the body of Christ. When someone is moved to the point that they're willing to destroy a local church to promote their ministry, they do not, and I say that this unequivocally, they do not really know the Lord or have the heart of God, because God does not condone that type of thing. If we're really trusting him, we can let him put us in the place that we should be in terms of whatever he wants us to do. You don't have to push and destroy the pastor or whatever else. Well, he brings out this principle, no other foundation can be laid but Jesus Christ. And therein is the solution and the answer. We build our house on the rock, the revelation of Christ. The church is built on the rock, the revelation of Christ. We never leave that. And praise God, our nation had some of its founding on the Word of God. Was it perfect? No. Is this church perfect? It stopped being perfect when you walked in. I was first one here, so it was imperfect when I walked in today. You know, you're going to have the imperfections of people, and sometimes it can be really ugly. But we have to be able to see beyond that and know and understand the foundation of Christ is what we're building on. No matter what's happening around us, that foundation will stand. It shall not be shaken. No matter what storm comes against us, we shall stand strong in Him. Hallelujah. In the Bible study time of the past few weeks, I've been sharing on that foundation, repentance from dead work, baptisms in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. It speaks of we are accountable to God as the authority, as a creator of heaven and earth. Every human being will give account. Learn to do it today. Be accountable to the Lord and to His Word and to the authorities in your life. And then you don't have to worry about the other judgment that's coming on this world. Those foundations must be laid. We cannot forsake them, but the Lord keeps building on those foundations, a greater revelation of that which He would have us to do, how we would walk, and especially to sum it up, to walk in love. That command to walk in love is given to us, but if we're not grounded on Christ, we'll easily be pulled astray, led astray, divided, offended. You know, in these last days, there will be a lot of people get offended with God. Why did this happen? Why did you let this happen? That's wrong thinking right off the bat. God's given us all that we need. It's in our foundation. We need to turn away from sin and from worldliness and all the rest and turn towards Him in faith, live by faith, look to Him to be all we need Him to be by faith every day of our life. You know, and as we embrace and understand this, we don't have to be afraid of the end times. I celebrate it. I'm not afraid of it. Whatever comes along, He is all that I need. My life's complete in Him. Your life's complete in Him. There is victory in Jesus Christ. That's not just some saying, but it's a truth. It's a reality. So we can look forward day to day. It's not, oh no, it's another day. It's praise God, there's another day. We live for His glory while we're here. And it won't be long. This will all be over and we'll be there. Dwelling in the glory of God forever and ever. Praise God, we can have it while we're here. The day ahead is ahead of us. We'll have it forever. And the kind of worship that we had today is forever. Even better. Yeah, sometimes we struggle to find the words to really express our heart. But to be in His presence forever, I mean, it'll just be full all-out expression. It says in Revelation, there'll be silence in heaven for a half an hour. I think we'll be so in awe of the glory of heaven, we can't even say anything. That's how great it's going to be. And then we'll break forth in praise and never shut up. Or maybe we do. I don't know. Oh, there's no other foundation. We cannot stand by and let our foundations of our, as a nation be destroyed. But we need to hold fast to those foundations. We cannot let the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ be destroyed by false doctrine. We cannot let the foundations of this Christ as Lord and our source of life be taken out of our homes. Because then we don't really have anything to build on. There's no other foundation. Jesus Christ. Father, we pray right now.